Hello, welcome to a beautiful podcast to fall in love, an unofficial Bachelor Nation show from TV Guide. I'm Liam Matthews, and joining me in TV Guide Mansion is my co-host from our season in Bachelor in Paradise. She doesn't let it lingery. It's Jacqueline Trumbull.
Hey!
Do you have to? Do you have to? Do you have to wear lingerie?
I had to rewatch that this morning to make sure it was real.
Yeah, it didn't seem real. I was like, did she really just say that? But she did.
And the finasco. I was like clicking around in Hulu, like, where? Yeah. Because I was watching it also on subtitles yesterday. I was like, maybe that was just subtitles messing up, but no, it was just pure TV gold.
Yeah, so we're gonna talk extensively about that in this episode, because that was the highlight, without a doubt. So it was week three on The Bachelor, aka the rise and fall of Miss Texas. Mm-hmm. The fallout from Champagnegate continues, and a new conflict gets introduced. Sydney and Alea. Sydney thinks Alea is fake, the worst thing you can be on The Bachelor. And unfortunately for Alea, the other girls thought so too. So Alea has her rose taken away from her at the rose ceremony. Very dramatic moment. I don't know. Overall, not a super strong episode, but it did have some good stuff. So Jacqueline, How do you think Peter did this episode?
Not great. I mean, I didn't think he was terrible, but he didn't do anything particularly well, and he definitely made mountains out of molehills. So what about you?
Yeah. He wasn't the focal point of this episode even too much. It was mostly Sydney and Alea. Yeah, he just got too in his head. You know, it was just like, yeah, mountains out of molehills is a good way. Mountains out of mohos. I can't say it. That's a good way to put it. Because it was like he was too upset about this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it really wasn't a big deal. And even the way the girls were talking about Alea was like, she didn't do anything terrible.
Her problem was just that she was annoying. Like, they just didn't like her because she was annoying.
Right, and she was annoying in front of him, too. I mean, if he couldn't see that,
yeah,
that's his problem. Or maybe he likes it, and then it's the other girl's problem. But
I don't know. I think he just thought she was hot, and he didn't want to send her home because of that.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. He's like, I'm just, there's something about you that I'm drawn to. I just can't quite figure it out. It's like, is it that she's hot?
Yeah. I mean, he's like, I don't know. I would rather keep this girl around than Sydney, but that seems like the wrong decision. That was the real, that was the conflict in his, because, I mean, Sydney seems annoying too, you know?
Yeah, I know. Like, it's okay, Peter.
Send them both home.
Send them.
That would be me as the Bachelor. I was like, all right, you're all eliminated.
I mean, you've got to know fairly early on. It is so funny when, you know, they agonize over these decisions, and it's like, dude, how many of these girls do you really think you're going to marry? Like, you think you're going to seriously regret letting this girl home? Is she one of your top four?
Is she really? I mean, maybe. Maybe he has no idea. Maybe he doesn't know yet.
Well, if she is, then he should quit being such a pussy. Like, stick to your top four. This is what I liked about Hannah B. She's like, I know this guy is a douche and terrible and misogynistic, but I need to see it through, so, you know, off. Like,
right.
And it's maybe that's what was in his mind, I guess, when he let her go, is he wanted to trust the other girls, but
I mean, listen, if he can put up with, you know, someone being annoying and like a low grade liar, that's his choice. Don't let other people make the decision for you, you know?
I wonder if there's a difference between who the girls gang up on versus the guy. It feels like whenever there's a male villain, it's pretty legitimate.
Yeah.
Like Luke P or Lee. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
From Rachel's season. The only one I disagree with, of course, is Nick Vile. I thought that was an unfair ganging
right.
up in two back-to-back seasons. But the women that the girls wind up ganging up on, I feel, usually get their redemption story in Paradise, mm-hmm. or it's all just kind of BS in the end.
That's interesting, yeah.
I don't really know what message I'm trying to send, but I'm just trying to...
No, but I think that's an interesting thing. Like, it's... With the men, it seems like the wrongdoing is more concrete.
Right, exactly.
Because even, like, you know, like, Lee, in addition to being racist, was also an asshole.
Oh, he was a sociopath. That was bananas. Yeah.
He was just a very unpleasant person to be around.
Yeah. Oh, and Chad is another example. I mean,
Right. Chad was terrible.
there haven't been many full-on sociopath women. The only one I can think of is Kelsey Poe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, we all ganged up on Crystal and didn't like her. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, she's got a successful relationship. She's a nice person. It was a bit unfair of us, to be honest.
You heard it here first. This is great.
And yeah, and now everyone's friends with her. So it's like, was that necessary?
Emotions run high.
Maybe women do play it up a bit more for the camera in ways that rubs other women the wrong way, but ultimately aren't that harmful or concerning. I don't know. I mean, Alea wasn't doing her biggest wrongdoing was telling Victoria not to tell the producers about their relationship. But I can understand some caution in the beginning with that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I mean, what happened when Kaylin and Hannah admitted their relationship? It was turned into a huge amount of drama. So,
right. It was actually like good self-preservation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's like, we're not doing pageant drama again.
Yeah.
We don't want that story. Well, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. I hadn't even thought of that, but you're absolutely right. Like she was, yeah, it was a reasonable thing to not want to make that into a thing. And then it ended up becoming a thing anyway.
Right. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately her explanation was paper thin. So she really made it worse for herself by trying to obscure her reasoning. But you don't know what you're getting into when you go on this show. And everybody, like probably all of her friends were like, have you seen Unreal? You know what the producers do? Like, that's what happened with me. You know what I mean? So you're expecting just to go into a lion's den, and you probably do want to keep right. your cards to your chest. So I didn't really blame her for that, but I can understand why that would make Victoria uncomfortable at the end of the day.
Okay. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about lingerie back after this. Okay, we're back. I have a question for you, Jacqueline.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the girls in the house think the champagne gate thing is funny? They were talking about it, you know, the morning after. It seemed like there was like an emotional hangover from just how crazy that whole situation got. But they didn't seem to be talking about it in the sense of like, this is so ridiculous that this is happening.
Yeah, they were like taking it seriously.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of odd, right? Because it was so ridiculous.
Yeah, it was really stupid.
But like, so like, can you, being in the house, could you understand like that feeling like a very serious thing? Or would people be like, I can't believe we're fighting over this?
I mean, nothing that dramatic happened that early on. So, but I can imagine getting, well, you know what probably happened is one thing that they do is they'll say, hey, Jacqueline and Kendall, go have girl chat, whatever. And then they'll ask you 80 bazillion questions about Champagne Gate. So it's possible that the women were just so sick of talking about it at that time because the producers probably hounded them just to get good sound bites. When like if that hadn't happened, then they could have just sort of observed passively and seen how ridiculous it was. But once you're like, you know, you have to answer so many questions about it and you have to answer the same question in different wording or and then you have to do that in your individual interview. It just gets to be boring. And so mm-hmm. maybe that's what they were thinking.
Right. But they were just over it.
Yeah. Because that shouldn't have affected anybody else, really, you know, except for the people who were directly to like comforting Hannah Ann, which, oh, my God, delivered some incredible lines. I'm not a champagne stealer.
Yeah. All right. And about that. Uh-huh. So this is a pet peeve of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Is when people say stealer instead of thief. Like, it's like, stealer is like a 7-year-old word, yeah. You know?
I eated it.
I drinked up the champagne. I'm a champagne stealer. Yeah.
I couldn't help but like having images of Les Mis with Jean Valjean stealing a loaf of bread to feed his family, and then but it's the Bachelor version, stealing a bottle of champagne to feed Peter.
Please, my children are dying. They need champagne.
I would never do that. I promise. 2, 4, 6, 0, 1. So good.
See, but this is like, they should have been making jokes like this because it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, these girls, none of these girls seem particularly funny so far.
Oh, I know. They're all terrible. They're either terrible or like sweet. Like Victoria's sweet, you know?
Yes, I like some of them, but I don't think any of them are particularly funny.
God, yeah, no.
I think Tammy thinks she's funny, but she's not that funny.
I keep hoping for her to become funny. She's like my one hope for this season. No wonder they brought Demi back.
Yeah, right. I was wondering, like, Demi and Peter have never even been on TV together, so it seemed kind of weird. But they probably are. They probably do know each other, you know.
Yeah.
But still, it was kind of odd, I thought. And so, okay, so now let's talk about the highlight of the episode. It wasn't a great episode, except for Finasco and Lingerie. So, what do you think is a funnier mispronunciation, Finasco or Lingerie?
Lingerie, absolutely. I couldn't believe it. I was laughing hysterically last night for like 15 minutes.
Like, I truly was like, wait, what? And then, because it just it happened so fast. Like, they didn't, because she was in an ITM when she said it. So there was nobody to react to it.
God, I wonder what the producer's face looked like in that moment.
And it's just like, that's such a weird, like, there are words that you don't know how to pronounce. You have only read them. Yeah. You know, that happens a lot with names in particular.
Yeah.
But there are words you don't know how to pronounce because you read them. They're uncommon. But lingerie is a very common word. Like, it's a word that I don't know how you wouldn't,
right,
especially if you're on The Bachelor,
yeah,
how you wouldn't have encountered lingerie before.
Yeah, I know. Well, and they were probably saying it around her in that moment.
Right. Very strange. Very strange. But really, really funny. And I'm glad they kept it in just because, like, they didn't need to keep that in.
And I like how they didn't make a big deal out of it either. Just it was just so subtle, especially pairing it with the Finasco thing. Like, just subtle commentary.
Yeah. Right. They're just like, all right, this, I mean, it was like, these people aren't, they're not, if they're not going to be funny on purpose, we'll make them funny by accident.
Yeah, that's what you get. You better deliver better content.
Right. If you're not going to make yourself look stupid on your own terms. I loved it.
Pretty brilliant. I also liked, so there were two other aspects of the pillow fight date that I liked. One was, so they're pillow fighting in lingerie, right? In a ring with everyone watching, and Demi is pretty explicit about how sexy this is. And then Peter, when he is at the cocktail party kind of discussing this, goes, didn't you guys have so much fun? I just love things that kind of remind me of childhood. And I'm like, what? Maybe like childhood masturbation fantasies, but that is not something that, like, women, you know, they're like, let me put on my sexiest lingerie.
Yeah.
Fight, like, pillow fight with my girlfriends.
Right. I mean, maybe just having a pillow fight, but, like, you know, Philippite, Jesus Christ. Am I on The Bachelor? Good Lord. I would have a pillow fight, like, with my male cousins, you know, and my brother, you know, not like, it wasn't a sexy thing.
It was just so explicitly sexual, which was why it was funny that he even tried to make this innocent. Like, no.
But, you know, as a straight man, I didn't find it particularly titillating, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No, like, what's a pillow fight is not sexy. Yeah. Like, it's just like, I felt kind of bad. They were just like getting whapped in the head, and it was just kind of degrading, you know. It was like, this isn't.
And you know, I don't, you sign up for a measure of this on The Bachelor. It seems like it's getting worse and more sexualized. The person I felt bad for was Kelly, and I'm glad that they included that line, like, who wants to see their attorney in lingerie?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And of course, that was my big concern with going on the show as well, so I really felt for her in that moment.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it's like, you know what you're getting into, but it's still like, yeah, you still don't like it. I like Kelly a lot. I think she seems like a pretty, you know, normal, reasonable person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does. I like her too.
And I like that Peter likes her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a wide range of, well, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, no, you're right, though. He seems to, he, like Ray Sremmerd, he doesn't have no type. That's a reference that you probably don't get.
No, I don't.
Let's break down the LA and Sydney thing a little bit more. I thought it was interesting because it was really one of those situations where no one is right. There are no winners here.
Well, I mean, apparently Sydney was, but it's might come back and bite her.
Right.
I was surprised he gave her that rose. I mean, one thing that always annoys me is when, especially early on, women get into an argument ostensibly in defense of the lead.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, you're insincere, you know, and fake. And Peter doesn't want that. That's not why he's here. It's like, you don't know Peter, though.
Right.
You don't. You've spent 20 minutes with him, maybe 30. I mean, of course, everybody wants someone that's genuine. But Alaya didn't commit any crime. She didn't do anything that was particularly secretive.
Yeah. Or that Sydney knew about, you know?
Right. Yeah. That just would have irritated me if I were Alaya, hearing how I'm bad for Peter and not what he's looking for and that I'm lying to him somehow just by my personality. And I did like when Alaya was talking about the pageantry and how that shaped her.
Yeah.
Especially when she said, and, you know, coming up with answers that aren't real answers when you don't have one. That was pretty good. But then Sydney goes and tells Peter, she actually framed it in a pretty strategic way, which is just to say, I'm uncomfortable with this process. It feels fake. There are a lot, you know, there are people here who turn up for the camera, and then that makes me feel uncomfortable. Like, that's a legitimate thing to say. And she didn't name any names, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you, like, it makes sense that you would talk to The Bachelor about how odd this experience is or how out of your league you are or uncomfortable. It was then that he called her out in front of them, which I actually found pretty inappropriate.
That was a bad move. Like, it was, like, why are you creating this conflict?
Right.
That doesn't, it felt like, it just was, like, such a blatant, like, pot stir.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me wonder if The Bachelor is, like, required to follow up on any drama strings, like, pull them.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, why, they've started this new tactic of whenever one girl calls out someone else and they immediately go to the other girl and try to resolve the drama. It's like, what if you just didn't? Like, what if you didn't resolve that drama and you let them deal with it? Because it probably isn't real.
Yeah. Or, like, it's not, it's between them. Like, what do you have to, but
yeah.
It pulls the lead into drama that they should be above, you know?
Absolutely. And then they act all exhausted about it. And I'm like, look, you did this to yourself. I mean, Alaya came and pulled him afterwards and tried to talk to him. And he said something like, ugh.
It's like, yeah, he put his face in his hands and went, oh, my God.
Yeah, that. It was incredible. But, I mean, what was Alaya supposed to do? Just go to bed? Like, absolutely not.
No, she had to defend herself. But really, like, and so Sydney did all this. Alaya hadn't done anything to her specifically.
Mm-hmm.
She was just annoying. Like, Sydney went out of her way to get rid of someone just because she didn't like their personality.
Right.
Not a nice thing to do.
No.
Not nice. Does Peter want that? Does Peter want somebody who is kind of mean? Probably not, honestly. Probably not.
Right. Just keep your head down. Say funny things during your ITMs. Focus on your relationship with the lead. Like, I guess it's a free ticket to paradise when you have...
Oh, yes.
A conflict, but
that's true. We will see both of these girls on Paradise, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. But it's also funny how Champagne Gate just totally resolved.
Yeah, well, because that was like, it was kind of nothing, you know.
Well, yeah, this is also nothing. Like, I kind of couldn't believe he sent her home over this.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, she might be back, you know.
Definitely, yeah.
We'll see her. Where she? I mean, she's definitely coming back. I don't know if she, you know, re-enters the house. That would be a. I mean, that would be the best outcome of this if she re-enters the house after this.
Yeah, Peter is not good with sticking to his decisions. I mean, almost caved and let Hannah in. Almost ran after Alaya.
Yeah.
Only got rid of Alaya because of peer pressure, which is pathetic.
Yeah, you're right. He's an easily manipulated.
Uh-huh.
Bachelor.
Get it together, Peter.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just like, I just want to hang out with all these hot girls. That's all I want to do. I don't want to have all this conflict.
Don't make them go away.
I want to give roses to all the girls.
It was kind of funny how he chose to take away a rose instead of giving it to another
that he eliminated. Yeah, right.
Like, your favorite right. went home this week.
Yeah, right. You're like, really? You're going to get rid of Alexa and instead of just giving her the other rose? Come on, dude.
Yeah. I was excited to see more of Alexa. She had a cool vibe.
Yeah. I think she just seemed kind of nervous. Like, she just didn't really have a camera ready personality. I don't know.
Which probably means she's cool.
Yeah, she's probably pretty cool. Anyway, so we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. And I guess we're going to talk about Victoria P a little bit back after this. Okay, we're back. So Victoria P, I like Victoria P a lot. I think she seems like a very, you know, genuine, sweet person. Mm-hmm. What I don't like is this show's sob story formula.
Right, correct, yeah.
It just is, like, I mean, everything on this show is a formula. And most of the time it's fine. But with the, like, the real stuff like this, it's just, it feels so manipulated and so just like exploitative.
Oh yeah.
In a way that other stuff doesn't, you know?
Obviously we've always seen that. Bachelor Clues calls it the personal tragedy card, or the PTC, which is so funny to, like,
yeah.
Because I, you know, as soon as she got that date, I was like, all right, Victoria's playing her PTC tonight.
God.
Yeah, it's just so set up. Like, Victoria, now you're going to go in and talk about your mother who has a drug addiction. So, in front of the cameras.
Yep.
Peter, you are going to respond favorably. So think of some lines in advance that you could say.
Wow, that's like, you're so strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it happens around the same time every season. So last Bachelor season, this happened with Kaylin. Remember, Kaylin talked about sexual assault. And it was very moving and very, you know, as it was with Victoria P, it was like, wow, this is a person who has overcome a lot.
Yeah.
But like, you hear how we're talking about this right now, it's like, wow, this is, they hit the story beats that we come to expect and are, you know, it just flattens these people out so much.
Absolutely. It makes it kind of uncomfortable to talk about right now, because I thought that Victoria's story was absolutely devastating and she was incredibly sweet. But it's like, we get these PTCs every season and we're kind of expected to have a similar commentary on them. I think Kaylin's was really interesting because it felt as though Kaylin was actually doing a kind of a service by opening up about that.
Mm-hmm. She was doing some advocacy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so that made it feel less like, okay, you're reeling in the Bachelor using this, the Bachelor of the show is like manipulating you into doing this or requiring you to do this, and more like Kaylin's like, I've got a platform and I'm going to use it,
right,
to say something important, which was then really cool to talk about. This, it was a beautiful story. It's just a shame that it is part of a formula.
And yeah, everything is mediated. That's what we signed up for.
Yeah, because you got the sense that there was no way she wasn't going to tell that. There was no way she wasn't going to open up in that sense, no matter how he...
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't Peter getting her to open up, you know? I mean, it was none of that. It was like, you are expected to tell the story when you get the chance, which is your one-on-one date. Otherwise, like, what use are you to us, Victoria?
Right. Your role on this show is to be the person who has personal trauma.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want better for Victoria P.
Mm-hmm. Excellent bachelorette material.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how far she goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she could be a good bachelorette for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she seems like she has, you know, good character. Like, she did not.
Absolutely.
She did not bring up the Alea thing until she had to. Like, she really did not. Like, she did not do it to, you know, character assassinate anybody. She did it because, you know, it was the truth and it had to come out.
Yeah. And ultimately, I also think she's genuinely buying into this and has feelings for Peter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's saying very strong things very quickly, but also like...
Oh, yeah. She did say she was falling in love with him. Yeah.
Yeah. But given everything she said, I mean, this probably does feel like a fairy tale and is probably very intense for her.
Yeah. Well, I hope she goes far.
Yeah, I do too.
And I hope... and I am not looking forward to seeing how the show breaks her.
Yeah, it feels like a fairy tale until the Wicked Witch comes.
A fairy tale in which you slowly become the monster.
Yeah. In paradise.
Yeah, that's where the grave you dug gets filled in. You know who I am looking forward to seeing the show breakdown is Victoria F.
Yeah.
That preview for next week, it showed that she she dated the country singer who appears, which is hilarious twist.
That is so good. Oh, that's so good.
I mean, that's so good. That's so good. And that happened. That seems to happen. Like, I know that, isn't Lauren Bushnell, did she get engaged to a country singer who was on the show? Right, Aliza? Producer Aliza, she keeps up on the gossip better than me.
Yep, she's married to Chris Lane. He performed on Nick's season.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, Kendall had actually dated very briefly the singer who sang for Crystal and Ari's date. So this just keeps happening. But this matchup is just exquisite.
That's so crazy. So, yeah, so Lauren Bushnell married a dude who Chris Lane, who had sang on the show, which is incredible. I mean, this is why they're doing the musical spinoff. Did you see about this, Jacqueline?
No.
They're doing it's called The Bachelor Music of the Heart or something. I can't even remember the title. But they're doing a spinoff with, it's sort of like American Idol, mm-hmm. Bachelor, like in the Bachelor format.
Okay. So it's a competition
where they, you know, they're singer-songwriters, and they, you know, they court through song, and they, you know, they'll perform and get the roses, I think, will be distributed that way.
Okay.
There isn't too much information about it yet, but it's in the works.
Hmm.
Right? Really what this musical spinoff really shows is that Jed was a year too early.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like he should have gone on that show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so that show is coming out in the spring. There's not too much information about it yet, but I don't know. I don't know if we're going to do a pod about that. We are going to do a pod next week, as we always do. We might have I think we're going to have a special guest next week.
Ooh.
I'll reveal more about that in the coming days, but I think we're going to have a special guest. It's going to be a lot of fun. So until then, this has been a beautiful podcast to fall in love. I'm Liam Matthews.
I'm Jacqueline Trumbull.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. We love you. You get all our roses, you beautiful listeners. Bye.
Whether it's a new Netflix original, the latest season of a long-running network drama, or a reevaluation of a legendary comedy series, TV Guide is the place for fans to come and find out about their favorite shows and movies. And with our help, discover some new favorites as well. From our Watch This Now recommendations and newsletter to our WTF Just Happened video series, TV Guide is the premier hub for people who love TV as much as we all do to come and hang out. Visit us at tvguide.com, follow us on social media at TV Guide, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. youtube.com/TV Guide for all this great free content, and let us help you find your next binge.